don't get them girls loose, loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money,
Mr. Worldwide.
But I do.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, join the 100,000-plus fans in the official Cleveland Browns fan club, the Browns Backers Worldwide. It's free to join the biggest organized fan club in all of sports and includes team shop discounts, special event invitations, and exclusive VIP experiences. To join, visit brownbackers.org. That's brownsbackers.org. Joining us now from the Chronicle Telegram, our guy Scott Petrak. Scott, obviously a lot of change here in Berea this week. Let's just start with your thoughts on what has happened this week.
Yeah, another busy week. You know, I was stunned by the Joe Banner part of it. You know, I could understand the Michael Lombardi, and I think you might have seen that coming a little bit with how much Haslam liked Ray Farmer, but the fact that Joe Banner has gone after 16 months and all the authority he had, kind of being with Jimmy from day one, that really surprised me.
Yeah, I think that's the general take on this thing, is how he was positioned, what his role was, and for all the negative publicity that it generated or started to generate, especially through the coaching search, I think I'm with you on the idea that you just figured he'll still probably withstand it just because of the role that he had, that he was in a position where maybe you could have enough support around you or enough mortar around you, so theoretically, that you couldn't be hurt by this. But obviously, in the way Jimmy Haslam does business, no one is, quote, untouchable.
No, and that's right, and that might not be a bad thing. You know, I tend to look at it from, if you brought him in, you wouldn't be so quick to get rid of him. And obviously, Jimmy's proved otherwise with Judd and now Joe and Mike. So that I just kind of assume he would be safe. But it strikes you as, if Jimmy obviously thinks he can be replaced, and it's going to be, you know, Alex Shiner and Ray Farmer taking those roles, but those are big shoes to fill. Joe had a lot of say and a lot of power in the organization, and that's why it still stunned me. And, you know, I think it's fine, and I'm not saying that they were bad moves, but the amount of power Joe had from the start and then it to be taken away 16 months later, I'm still shaking my head a little bit.
It is a little bit surprising. One thing that we've heard is it sounds like a good benefit coming out of this. We heard from Eric Metcalf earlier, and we've heard some people around the league that Ray Farmer being here, right or wrong, will help the Browns in their ability to sign their own free agents and those from around the league. What's your sense of that?
You know what? I believe that that's true in regards to the Browns free agents. You know, I know Joe had a really set way he looked at a roster, and this position was worth this much, and he valued positions maybe more ahead of the actual player, per se. And I think when you have guys like T.J. Ward and Alex Mack, you know, they headline it. I'm not sure he valued those two positions or those two guys in those positions. And I think the fact that Ray Farmer takes over presents a better chance for those guys to stick around. And for outside free agents, I'm not sure about that. I think that the reputation of Joe and Mike affected the coaching search. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But Joe had a pretty strong relationship with a lot of agents. And with the amount of cap money the Browns had, I think he would have been able to land some of the free agents he saw, just like he did last year with Kruger and Desmond Bryant. So I'm not sure from outside I think he would have been able to sign guys, because you'd overpay like you normally do in free agency. The agents, I don't know if they're scared of him, but he's got a lot of relationships with agents, and he's got a lot of respect with those guys. So I'm not sure that the Browns are any worse off if Joe had stayed in that one regard.
Do you think there's some regret on the part of other candidates who were in line for this job, who pulled themselves out of the running or at least delayed the interviews or whatever they did, now that they see that the setup is exactly as they would have wanted it to become coacher? Mike Pettine got the setup that several other people who were interviewed before him didn't get or feared they weren't going to get and therefore decided against taking the job.
I do. I think that's a good point, Vic. I think there's guys out there for second guess, because you never know when that chance is going to come around. So this is a setup they would want, and they would have liked to sit down and interview in just a room with Jimmy Haslam and Ray Farmer. I think that's an attractive offer to guys, whether it's Adam Gase or you name the guy, who would sit down and say, you know what, I can work with these two guys. And I don't think there's anybody, or at least not many people across the league, who would badmouth those guys. But I know that if you're Adam Gase and you're working in Denver, there's plenty of people who can be in your ear saying, you know what, that's not a situation that I would walk into. You know, whether that's right or wrong, I think he would have had to have heard that. And I'm sure that affected whether or not he interviewed before the playoffs, and especially, you know, said he wouldn't interview after the Super Bowl.
And, you know, it's the interesting point about what you just said, Vic, is that I read something today that's saying now that, you know, Banner and Lombardi, who hired, you know, Pettiner, were there in the room, that Pettin's got to be kicking himself for the situation he's in now. I think it's exactly the opposite. I think he's got to be thrilled that all of a sudden a whole level of communication and a report has been wiped out. He goes right to the owner. You have a GM who's now come out and said, I want to get on the same page with you. I want to get the players that will enable you to have the most success on the field. And what's interesting to me about that is, we all know Joe Banner was, for all intents and purposes, the GM of this team.
Sure.
At not one point did Joe Banner say, I can't wait to get on the same page with Mike Pettin and get the players that are going to help Mike Pettin. I think you now have a much more, if you're Mike Pettin, a much more collaborative situation, because before, the guy that you wanted to get on the same page with you and supply you the players was also your boss.
Correct. And I think that was that. And Scott, I want you to weigh in on this too, is I think that's really the key here for a Mike Pettin, is to understand that he has, you can't ask for more than the chance to communicate directly with the owner of the team, to have your ideas heard, and to have your vision carried out. For most coaches, what are coaches all about? They want to control. They want to control as much as they can. They're control freaks by nature. And if you give them a sense that they can control their destiny, their fate, that's why plays are called for most quarterbacks. That's why, you know, they want to handle everything possible that could, if they're going to get fired, they want to get, you know, they don't want to get fired, but if it's going to happen, they want it to happen on their terms as much as it can be.
Yeah, I think the initial reaction would be shock for Mike Pettin, would be shock and a bit unsettling. Just because you've only been in this job 14, 15 days, and the guys that hired you, two of the three, aren't there anymore.
Sure.
So I think you go, oh, my gosh, you're taken aback. But then you can sit down. I do think removing that layer helps because, you know, and who knows how it would have played out with Chud, and I think Jimmy Haslam, you know, was as frustrated as anybody in the organization with how the season ended. So Chud probably would have been fired anyway. But when you have that extra layer, you really never know who you're dealing with. And if one of those guys, or, you know, if there's three of them, really, there are three of them, Chud, there's Michael, there was Michael, Joe, and then Jimmy. You know, if one of those guys is unhappy with something you're doing, and there's a lot of chatter back and forth, it kind of creates a negative atmosphere, and it snowballs against you, and all of a sudden, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get fired here, and I thought it was fine 4 weeks ago. So I think a lot of that is removed with the way this, you know, with the way the organization's set up now. And I think it is important for Mike Pettin and Ray Farmer to be on the same page, and I don't sense a whole lot of ego from Ray Farmer, and I don't know if we could say that about Joe or Mike, and there's a lot of guys in this business that have big egos, but I don't know if we can say that about right now about Ray Farmer, who's only 39, first-time GM, never has run a draft before. I think he's coming in knowing he's got a lot to prove, and the way he proves that is by getting his coach the players that are going to help him succeed, and I think they're off on the right foot together, but there's no way that Mike Pettin didn't have a second one. Is like, oh my gosh, what, maybe not what did I get myself into, but this is not how I expected my first 2 weeks on a job to go.
Right, and I think that there is something, though, and to the dynamic that Ray Farmer can't fire Mike Pettin. Banner, before, was the GM, basically, but also the direct report for Mike Pettin. And a push comes to shove in a personnel matter, where's that going to go? There's no question.
Right. Banner wins.
Right.
Yeah. And there was obviously a sense from Joe and Mike that Chud and his coaching staff weren't doing enough with the talent he was given. And now that decision is going to be on Jimmy. Did Ray Farmer give Mike Pettin enough talent, and did Mike Pettin do enough with that talent? But if you're in those rooms, and the room is Jimmy, Joe, and Mike, and two of the guys are saying, you know what, Mingo's great, Kruger's great, Devon Bess is great, and you're Jimmy, and I'm sure you have your own opinion, but those are two guys you trust to evaluate talent and to make those decisions, and they're telling you, you know what, the talent's better than the coach is getting out of it. And I think that makes a huge difference, and you're right, that roadblock or that extra layer just isn't there for Mike Pettin to have to worry about.
It certainly is. And Scott, great stuff as always, and another exciting week here in Berea. Hopefully the last of such exciting weeks until it's all good news and about acquisitions and free agents and re-signings of people, et cetera. Let me ask you this before we go. Yeah. What if you were Ray Farmer, what's your number one priority right now? Is it re-signing T.J. Ward or Alex Mack or extending a Joe Haden? What would be at the top of your list for something you can control today?
Yeah, I think it's re-signing both Mack and Ward. And you know, I think there's a chance you're going to have to spend more than you ideally spend. But for me, the state of this organization, the amount of losing that's gone on over the last 15 years, you can't afford to lose two of your better players. And, you know, I don't know where you guys have them on your ranks, but they're probably both in the top 10. And I don't know if you can let both those guys go and call yourself a better football team. And especially with Alex Mack, I think he is almost irreplaceable at this point. So I think you got to try to re-sign those guys before you devote all your attention to the draft. Not saying you don't need to sign a free agent, because I think there's a couple positions you should target there. But re-signing your guys would be the first thing I'd do.
I'm with you.
Absolutely. Scott, great stuff. Thank you very much. And also thanks for the setup into our positional rankings, as we will come back and rip through quite a few of those, starting at number 43 as we continue to rank this roster from the Cleveland Browns 53-1 here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.